Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you as we continue in Romans, praying, as always, for more understanding, more enlightenment as we read your word. Pray for the hearts and minds of the listeners as we hear these things, that we would check them as the Bereans to see whether these things be so. And we just thank you again for the time that we have here. And we pray that it's for your glory and for our edification. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, back at 12. Last week, we looked at the grace that Paul was given, which is the, I'm going to say it for summary's sake, the empowerment and the office that he was given. Verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And we looked at the measure of faith also is the ability that God had given those people to carry out his word. It's not only what they had, but it was the ability to distribute what they had been entrusted with. Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." This is the interdependence of the body, where we looked in Ephesians about the effectual measure of each part. Well, this is that. The body was, at the time, empowered, and we said it was a supernatural empowerment, which anytime the Holy Spirit is involved, that is a supernatural empowerment. Those people were empowered, and it was a measure of faith that was given them. That is the amount of information that they had. They were sharing that with the body, and Paul says in Corinthians, to profit with all, to edify them, to grow them up. Verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." That's that interdependency again. Whether they go today, whether they go by a label of Baptist, Pentecostalist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, those are labels that we put on, but they are members of the body of Christ. And we can't assume that we have a market on the measure, because we have a better understanding. And I would say we believe that we have a better understanding. We all have a responsibility to each other, to different members of the body, to minister and to distribute the measure that we have. And we are not to despise those who may have a different measure. Look at Corinthians while we're talking about despising the measure. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 12, 22. Well, we better go back to 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, for nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." I went to that verse because we have a tendency, just like the Corinthians, to do a comparison, to compare and contrast. If a person has a more forefront Or I would say as Ed or as myself, we are in front of the body more than the others. But that doesn't mean that other members are less important. And yeah, I was talking to a lady last night. She's asking me a question about, ironically, about these supernatural events, supernatural, well, she said miracles, miracles and intervention. Did I believe that that was still going on today? You know, one thing about it, you could go to 100 verses, but that person has to, their measure has to be increased. And it's not like a drive-through filling. You know, we want to sit down and we want to be filled in 30 minutes. Well, we know that doesn't happen like that. These things, they have to be line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how your measure is filled. The more doctrine we take in, then our measure increases. So most believers, I won't say most believers, she was looking for an immediate answer. And if you give them a verse, and if it's not what they want to hear, what does that do?
Bye-bye, Frank.
Because they already have in their mind what he's doing.
Yeah.
And what they want from you is a validation. So we might look at them as unnecessary, because if a believer is functioning on I thinks and I feels instead of he says, then you're already at a disadvantage, because you can't say, look at the scripture. So they're going to have to wait on that measure, as we'll see in chapter 12. And one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. That's a growth over time. We don't grow anything. God gives the increase. And that's what I understand now, is you don't have to spend hours and hours trying to convince somebody to believe the scripture. You can give them the verse and go home and bake that. Go home, put that in the oven and let it bake, or put it on the shelf, and when you get time, take a look at it. Or what do you say, Ed? When they don't say what you want to hear, what's the answer?
I'm not sure, but I do think of that holding on to an idol.
Yeah, I was doing my psychic empowerment there. When they don't want to hear what you have to say, they say, I got to pray about that.
Oh yeah, that's good.
So. Now you've been down that road, tested those things, approved the things that are more excellent, but that person still has to, they still have to do what you've already done.
Yeah.
You can't do it for them.
No.
Maybe they do feel that way. They'll say, I have to pray about that. And hopefully they do go back and meditate on those things. As the Bereans, search those things out, prove those things to see whether they be so. But if not, we won't change it. You can talk to them every day, and it may increase that gap. So now back to 12. But I said that because when I spoke with her, when the end of the conversation came, we were at the same place we were when we started. She says, well, I just believe this. And I said, okay,
yeah.
There's always a default is this. Just look around. Look at the proof is in the results. You know how many healers, professed healers, you know how many healers have died?
All of them.
Okay. That should be enough, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Romans 12. So verse 5, we'll say, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now that is at their time The proportion of faith, it simply means the amount of information that they had. The proportion is just the measure, same way of saying the measure of faith that you have, the measure of responsibility that you've been given. And God, if it's his body, he is responsible for the growth of it. And as we yield to him, the key verse, Paul starts off in 12, to present your body as a living sacrifice. And what God does with that living sacrifice is he entrusts you, or at this time, he entrusted them with the preservation, the proclamation, and the demonstration of his word in them to grow the body, to equip the body, to edify the body. Paul says to them, just like I have a position, you guys have a position, and you are to work that position that he's given you with the information that he has entrusted you with. Whatever the gift is, whatever the grace is, you know, those things are closely related, the responsibility and the empowerment to carry it out. What do you think the gift is, the gift of grace is, or the grace of God is? Well, I'll answer that. Just like Paul said, according to the grace given unto me, that was not just, and we looked at it last week, not just his message, but it was the ability to carry out that message. The grace and the gift of God, they go together. In Hebrews, he says something like this, that the word didn't profit those people who heard it because it was not mixed with faith. The hearing of God's word, when it is believed, when it is acted on from the heart, it produces some effects. It has an effectual working, as Paul said in Thessalonians. Effectual. It gets the job done. So that's where we looked at. Paul says, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And the gift of God, the grace of God, the Spirit indwelling Paul, that works, it all works together. And Paul is saying this verse 6, having then gifts differing, having different responsibilities according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I'm going to go back and pick up verse 6 again, and I want you to make a note on this, where Paul said this, according to the grace given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Whether ministry, let us minister. Verse 8 or 7, or teaching, wait on teaching. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. Now, I said that because he's using those words twice. If you prophesy, wait on prophecy. If you minister, wait on ministry. If you teach, wait on teaching. If you exhort, wait on exhortation. The first thing we can notice is that all those have to do with the giving out of the word. And he says it twice. And this is why this goes with the gift and the grace principle. Look back at chapter 1 and see if this helps out a bit here. Chapter 1, Paul says this, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the what?
Power.
Power. Okay. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I went back to that because here's the principle that's in Romans 12, I believe, is this. From faith to faith is this. It is the hearer of these things. They have a responsibility. So from faith is the source. That is the thing believed or the thing proclaimed has to be believed. From faith, from the source, to faith, the belief of it. Or I would say it like this. If the man is a prophet, from whatever that prophecy is to the one who is prophesying, the prophet has to have a source of his prophecy. And Paul is saying, if that's your office, then wait on the prophecy. You don't just go around saying, thus saith the Lord, like we do today. Johnny, the Lord told me. No, he hasn't told you anything. Not you. If it is, I need to see the verse. See, that waiting period, it's not today. It's done. He says that he that ministers wait on ministry. Again, with the lady I was talking to last night, we have a mutual friend. And this mutual friend is a woman. And she went to school to be a bishop. Bishop Press, she said, I'm going to school to be a Bishop Press. She asked me, she says, do you think that the Lord called her? And I said, what do you think? Before I give you my answer, what do you think? With the give me some verses to support your answer.
That would be an emphatic no.
Well, here's she didn't have any verses, but she had a feeling that it was not right. And yeah. I said, well, your friend has a feeling that she's right. And she had verses. Go ahead, Johnny.
She felt it in her spirit that it was whatever, you know. In other words, she ain't had no verse, but she felt it in her spirit, which I guess is like inside you, your inner man, whatever.
That's that private prayer language that the tongue talkers speak of today.
What's wrong with this, though? Because they have verses that they turn to just like this. We have gifts. That's my gift. So we have to see at this time that this was going on, that the body is and is still in development now. But at this time, we don't have the complete guideline. We don't have the complete prophecy. We don't have everything that where the unity of the faith, as Paul would say in Ephesians. We don't have that oneness that we can all agree on, that God, what is God doing today? They could tell you back then, I think we said it last week, it was being revealed to them. Paul could reveal it to them, to his holy apostles and prophets. How? By the Spirit.
Yeah.
Now we have the Spirit. Back in Romans, when Paul was speaking to the Jews, and he says, don't go up to heaven and don't go down to the sea. He said, the word is nigh thee. You don't have to look for this now. He said, the word is nigh thee. This is Romans 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The scripture. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, I went to that verse because you don't have to wait for that feeling, Johnny. I don't have to depend on my spirit. We can say to those people, what saith it? And when we say it, we don't mean their spirit. What saith the word? What saith the verse? And we can go and point to it, and which we will. In Paul's day, the spirit, Paul would say, if this is your responsibility, wait on it. If it's a teaching, wait on teaching. If it's ministry, wait on ministering. If it's exhortation, wait on exhortation. These are not things that you take upon at this time. You didn't take it upon yourself. 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14:26. How is it then, the same principle Paul goes over in 1 Corinthians 14, that the church is to edify each other with their gifts? And the Corinthians were using those gifts out of order in a fleshly way. In other words, they weren't waiting on the time to do these things. They were just saying, let me say this, which brings up another point before we get back to this. I asked the lady I was talking to, I said, if you went to the verses and showed our friend the headship of God that's in Corinthians, the headship of God, that is, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the woman. The woman is the glory of the man. There's an order there. If you show that to the bishopress and said, I see from scripture that God's will is for you to sit down. If she was spiritual or prophetess, what would she do?
She'd sit down.
She'd sit down. If she didn't, she would have to go through here and find verses to rest to validate why she's going to stand up, right?
Right.
Now, there was a time when you did those things out of order, you were punished. But God allows that to happen today, to be out of order and not be punished up front. 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits, small s, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So this would eliminate a lot of the monkey shine that we see, where you just jump up and the spirit is taking control of me. No. Yes, the spirit has taken control of you. The little s spirit.
Right. There are many spirits.
There are many spirits. And just so happens that the one that's taking control of you is out of order.
Right.
Now, here's the question is this, and it's kind of rhetorical. Here are the believers in Paul's day, the Corinthians, carnal Corinthians, who have been empowered with the gifts, and yet they are using them out of order. That sounds like it's impossible, doesn't it? How could they have a gift that's given by God, that's given by God's grace, and yet misuse it?
It's our pride.
It's our pride, or even yet starts with an F. It's our flesh.
Yeah.
Which is the pride. Which Paul said, that's not the way this thing is supposed to go. When you go back to Romans, that's what he means by wait on this. There's a order to this. There's a time to do this that gives the maximum benefit. That all these things, these gifts are to be executed decently and in order after his instruction. Paul would say this, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, we didn't look at that last week, but those two words, according to the proportion of faith, is they have to be done in agreement, in accordance with what's given, with the faith or the message that's given. You say, I don't quite understand that. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. You would say Noah was a believer. We will use these terms by convenience. Noah was a believer, right?
Right.
Say he was a mature believer.
Building a boat when they've never seen rain would be evidence of a believer.
Yes. Okay. Verse, let's see, Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And he goes on to talk about what he's going to do. Now, why didn't he just say to Noah, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. You better make a boat.
Because there was a pattern. There were specifications according to God's plan.
There was a fashion that it was to be made. There was a specifications. He told him what kind of wood, the exact measurements, the pitch, how to pitch it. In verse 22, he says this, thus did Noah, next two words,
according to
all that God commanded him, so did he. You know how that boat was able to last 40 days and 40 nights of rain?
Because of the designer and I guess the builder too.
Right, because the fashion of it was made according to specifications.
Right.
The result was the outcome was a direct result of following instructions.
Yeah.
The fruit of it was a direct result of walking by faith. It was a direct result of Noah performing according to the proportion of faith. God didn't leave it for guesswork for what he should do, how he should build it. Exodus 28. The children of Israel come out of the wilderness, and I'm going to read this before we get to 28. They come out of the wilderness. This is in 25. Exodus 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they present their body as a living sacrifice. You say, wait a minute, Frank. You're getting way too loose with these scriptures. I'm just using that for an example. Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And he tells them what he wants. right? Well, maybe you're not there. He tells them what he wants. He gives them the offering that he wants. I'm going to read this. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skin and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Now, God's telling Moses to take up this offering from the children of Israel, those who are willing, those who have a heart to do it. And he told them what to give. He gave them the proportion of what they should give, the guidelines of it. And Moses is going to build this sanctuary that God may dwell upon them, dwell among them. Now, that's just like, go ahead.
I was going to say, and I bet all of them didn't have gold and silver or goat's hair. They gave according to what they had.
That's exactly the parallel. Yes.
To contribute to the whole. Yeah.
To contribute to the sanctuary. Verse 9, he says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the, it's everything that went into the tabernacle, God had instructions that he was going to give. Okay. Exodus, let's look at the last chapter, 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court. This is after all Moses, after all the instructions are followed. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. Now, I just went to that because when Moses had done everything according to the pattern that was showed unto him in the mount, then the end result was the glory of the Lord filled the place. That's the same way of the body edifying itself, increasing itself in love. And we grow up unto him in all things. So back to Romans 12, that's the importance of those two words. Paul said to the Romans that he longed to see them, that he might impart unto them some spiritual gift to the end they may be established. That is, that they might be comforted together by the mutual faith, both of you and me. That's the same thing as Paul saying that I've got something that I'm going to give you according to what has been given unto me. Chapter 16, same thing. Now to him that is of power to establish you, you know the rest, don't you? According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. You see, you got the grace that Paul was given. He follows it, that information that was entrusted to him. He carries it out, and it benefits the body. The same thing is duplicated in the believers. Paul gives it to them, they share it, and they have to make sure that it's according to specifications. In 1 Corinthians, we know it. He talks about, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, right? First Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have built the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon that foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And then he goes on to talk about what would happen to those who don't build according to. Now, all these things are important when we talk about the body being built up. In Paul's day, he's telling them there's a way that God wants to use you, and this is how it's done. What he gives you, you give it out. You take it in, you give it out. Whatever that gift is, whatever that empowerment is, whatever the ability is that he's given you, is for a reason and is for a purpose. Now, last week I said this. At this time, there were selected members who got gifts, and those gifts varied in nature. Notice in verse 8, I don't know this, but I think we've all run into this, where you run into a believer and they may tell you the gift that they have, or they may say, I'm still questionable about my gift. I've even been in assemblies where they have gift training to help you find your gift and operate in it. So, whether it's prophecy or ministry or teaching or exhortation, let me ask you a question. How would you know if you had any of these gifts today? What would be your test? What would be the proof that you have these gifts? Exactly. Say it again.
I was going to say your desire to use that gift, because God gave it to you, so the Spirit encourages you in that area, I think.
Okay, I like that. I like that. And that would be part of you waiting on it. We'll just say that. We have gifts differing, and we are to wait on that. And the reason I say I like that is because this. You're presenting your body. It's willing, right? Willing.
Right.
But verse 6, he says we have different gifts. And the Corinthians, they had the gifts, but their desire was not for edification.
Right.
So it wasn't the proper execution of what they already had. So they had a gift, and they didn't even appreciate it. We have to look at it a little differently than that, than us wanting to do it. And then carrying it out. They had it. And Paul said, I thank God on your behalf that you come behind in no gift. Like, you guys got these gifts and you don't even know how to appreciate them or how to use them. Verse 8, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let. These are all willing and participatory terms, I would say. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. When you look at that passage, one thing we could take away from it is this, that God is not going to make you do these things. Could we agree with that?
I agree. I'd like to also just point out that in verse 9, right in the middle of all those things he's talking about, he says, let love be without dissimulation. And I think that goes back to the proper measure of faith or of the gift is the improper is to fake it. And the proper is that you actually have it. Like in my teaching, there's times where I have to shrug my shoulders and say, I don't understand exactly what that is. Let me see if I can find out for you. Otherwise, I would be dissimulated.
I remember, because of the limelight or because of the what we feel the notoriety that a position out front would get you, people go into the ministry for that reason.
Yes.
You know, they're not looking at benefiting the body. And that's what goes with what Annette said. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And that's why I asked you about the lady. If God showed her, if somebody went to her and showed her a verse that God was not pleased with women overseers, women bishops, women deacons, what would you do? Would you sit down? And that would be a question that you would have to really wrest some scriptures in order to stand up. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is the true saying. Now, this is with what Annette said. This is what's operable today. How many times have you heard this? The Lord called me. We just talked about that. Well, the Lord calls you to salvation, right?
Right.
Primarily with the intention for service. You have to volunteer for service. That's what we talk about, the willing heart. The willingness is God is assuming this, that you are volunteering to present your body a living sacrifice. That means you're going to demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that you are saying to him, I'm going to do it according to what you want now.
Let this mind be in you.
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And that mind was not my will, but thy will.
Right.
1 Timothy now, Paul says, if this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, here's a change that has taken place from God calling and empowering the believers. To now, a man, he wants to do these things. He wants to be an overseer. Paul says, okay, well, go ahead and do it.
No, he gives him to it.
He says, a bishop, he desires the office of a bishop. He desireth a good work.
Yeah.
He has to do it according to the pattern.
Well, let's see what this pattern is. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. What's the next one?
Apt to teach.
Apt to teach. Well, what happened to the supernatural empowerment?
It's gone.
Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? In Romans, he said, he that ruleth, let him rule diligently. Paul's over here saying, if you can't get it right at home, you forget about the assembly. Verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. What's a novice?
Amateur.
Yeah, amateur. That's good.
No, amateur.
Oh, okay.
Say it again.
A new believer.
A new believer. And all three of them are right. A new believer. A new believer is an amateur. And Ed, more than likely, an amateur is going to be immature.
Especially if it's going to be lifted up with pride.
Right, that's what he said. Lest, and Paul knows, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You know what the devil said?
You can be as gods.
It started with his position. It started with the position that he had. He said the wrong two words.
I will.
He didn't say thy will. He said, I will.
Yeah.
He didn't have a willing heart, but he didn't have a willing heart to serve. He had a willingness to be served. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. Now, all this goes along, still in line with doctrine. This is Paul saying he has to do it according to these specifications.
Let me just say, I've read through that list before. Now that I read through it again, that's a pretty high bar.
It's a pretty high bar.
And so, you know, that would, I think, would severely limit the amount of people who would qualify for that. Yeah.
Yes. I guess I asked this question. What would make you disregard the qualifications?
Being a novice?
Being a novice? Have you ever applied for a job, Blake or Jenny or any of you? Have you ever applied for a job that you know you're not qualified for?
I have.
I remember looking through job offerings, and I just want to see how qualified I am. And you look through job offerings, and you might see this, must have 5-10 years of experience in this field. That's the first thing. And I don't have it. I found myself doing this. Well, maybe they'll reconsider when they see this other stuff on my resume.
Or maybe I'll be the best of what's available from the dregs of the crop.
See, what you're really saying is this. Maybe I can get by, or maybe I can get them to change their according to.
Yeah, that was me. My application was for typing 90 words per minute. No way, Jose.
You say I might can get 30 in a minute.
You're right.
Now, they're going to say, didn't you read the requirements? And you're going to say, yeah, but what?
You were desperate.
I'm desperate.
Yeah, but I thought, or I felt, that you would change it just for me.
Well, they did. They gave me 2 weeks and fired me.
Well, now let's see. Let's see what, look at 2 Timothy. And we're going to see what, how do you get your words per minute up? How would you get your words per minute up?
Practicing.
Type. He that typing, wait on the typing, right?
Right.
Wait on the empowerment.
Yes.
So then. Yeah, then they had to wait on it. And Paul says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, I'm going to say it this way, all grace is given by God. All gifts are given by God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that he might meet thee according to, that the man of God might be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That now, you want to minister? Paul, Peter says this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That is, you have to have some information now. And the scripture is what enables us to do what God wants done. You learn this. Apt to teach the doctrine. Is profitable. All scripture is profitable to equip you. And one thing about it is this. As you learn the scripture, the scripture will equip us to sit down. Yes. You say, I don't get it. We'll just use this example that we've been speaking of. If this lady believed scripture and she gave herself to scripture, she would realize that I'm out of order. No matter how I want to do this, no matter how bad I want it, no matter how much money I spent on this degree, this is not what God is asking for. And he is not pleased with this. So that tells us that you can say that this is a gift. And God, look back at Acts. And then we'll stop. Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, that's something that we can take when we read the scripture and we find out if it's not being done according to scripture, according to the grace that's given, according to the gift of God, if it's not done his way, then you know it's your way. And if it's your way, that's just like him saying this. You don't have anything to do with this. Your heart is not right in the sight of God because you're thinking that this is something I could do or is something that's self-generated.
Wise in your own conceit.
Wise in your own conceit. Look at me. And we have to be careful that we don't say my will more than we say thy will. So, and that's it. We're going to stop there. And to close out here, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things for our edification, for our enlightenment. We pray, as always, for each believer that as we read and believe these things, that it might be for our edification and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.